The comic book medium itself is special. And what we can add to the comic book, we may have to think about that.
Greetings, fellow humans, and welcome to the premiere edition of Very Fine. That's my own Grant Stoy's comic podcast. It's like a subsidiary of Court of Nerds, how Sledge has his own thing and everyone has their own things, and now it's finally my own thing because I like sitting alone in a room talking to no one in particular like a crazy person. But I just want to talk about a couple things in this premiere episode, the first of which was we have recently seen the previews for Batman White Knight, number one, by Sean Gordon Murphy, and we had seen a couple drawings of this before. I've been following the design elements of this and how he designed his own Batmobile for this particular story, and it looks beautiful. It's like a combination of the Michael Keaton ones, the tumblers, and the Batman the Animated Series ones, which is cool because Sean Gordon Murphy is just, he's a car enthusiast, and geez, all of his vehicles from Tokyo Ghost to The Wake have looked incredible, so this looks really good. We saw a cover that he submitted. We saw recently a picture of Mr. Freeze and Eleanor, like a preview or whatever it is, and we just got to see a couple pages now, and it just looks really, really cool, and I can't believe that someone this excellent at his artistic duties, and he does everything by himself, pencils, inks, paints, colors, you name it, he does it. It looks beautiful here, and the story itself seems really, really cool. In this particular tale, the Joker is cured of his insanity, and he wants to go around righting wrongs that he's done. He wants to stop by Harley Quinn, and then he wants to turn his attention towards ridding Gotham of its greatest villain, Batman. Because, of course, Joker thinks Batman is the biggest villain, and I am so curious to see how this goes, because very, very seldom do we see a sympathetic side of the Joker. Off top of my head, The Killing Joke is just one of them because Alan Moore gives this amazing background story that may or may not be true. We don't know. One of the nice things about the Joker is you never know what tragedy in his life is true and which is just a product of his insanity. And for something like this, I'm a sucker for Elseworlds, and this seems like a brilliant Elseworlds kind of tale where he'll really get to just dig his teeth into Gotham in a way that he hasn't done, I don't think, too often outside of when he did some work with Scott Snyder for one of the Batman giant issues. He had this really cool story about Batman cloning himself over the years, and his progression in that and the way he developed Batman stuff there was just really, really cool. So seeing him work further on Gotham City and Batman is, I'm super pumped. And again, he is a phenomenal artist. His work is very kinetic. It's very frenetic. It seems like it's popping off the page. He renders emotion very well. And his, just again, the way he does vehicles looks very powerful, like they could actually be created in real life. And thank you, DC, for giving him a platform to do this with. We're super excited. It drops on October 4th, and you sure as shit bet that we've all got this on our pull list. Another thing I wanted to talk about was one of my other favorite writers, or one of my favorite creators, Fred Van Lente. He had done a 4001 one-shot about a character called War Mother, which was this person who is able to go out and provide for her tribe, who can't leave the sanctuary of their home, the Grove, for fear of death, and she just traverses the terrains and gathers and hunts for them, and she's accompanied by this sentient rifle, which is just, it's kooky, and it's cool, and Van Lente is just so good at mixing sci-fi and comedy, I think it's better than anyone else going right now. And right now, War Mother has an ongoing from Valiant. I picked up the first issue. It's really cool. It picks off right where that one shot left off. And we're seeing how the Grove has been decimated, and War Mother and her family had the chance to move out of there. And we see this tension within War Mother's family between, like, her and her husband. The husband has resentment towards her because of all the success that she has. It's just really, really cool, and I'm excited to see where this goes. I'm going to butcher your name, and I really apologize because your work is excellent, but Steven Segovia on artwork just really does a good job rendering, I guess post-apocalyptic, if that's going to be the genre we settle in for this, but just in the future, nature's overrun things, people have just evolved and changed themselves so much in 4001. We've seen all the Tokyo stuff in Japan from Rai, but we don't get to see too much of the Earthbound stuff, so it's really cool to see the development of this further. And again, Van Lente is just so damn good at sci-fi, and he injects humor in this, and you find yourself laughing out loud. I couldn't get enough of Weird Detective, which was really creepy, noir, horror, that again was super funny. Big ups to Van Lente. Check out War Mother. Issue number 2 is dropping sometime this month. I apologize for not having that information on hand, but by God, I'm going to get it because number 1 was fantastic. And the last thing I wanted to touch on today was something that has really frustrated me about Marvel Comics. If any of you have listened to the podcast or read the stuff I write, I'm often very hard on Marvel. I think it's because one is most difficult to the person or thing that one loves the most. And Marvel used to be, it was a huge part of my adolescence and my growing up. And I was a Marvel boy for a very long period of time. And over the last 10, 15 years, things have just been getting, I don't know, just disappointing. I would say the start of Civil War was the beginning of the end for me, because I get very sick very quickly of heroes fighting heroes. I think they should have better things to do. But over that period of time, it's just been event after event, as I've discussed as nauseam, as well as the reboots, and just there's no consistency with creative teams, and there just doesn't seem to be a lot of good editorial directives. And it's all about shocking people into getting them to buy the book. And that's why Captain America, Agent of Hydra, or whatever it is, how that first issue sold 1 billion copies and then kind of fell off a cliff in terms of circulation numbers, just because, you know, people were outraged. And that ties directly into my feelings towards the end of Secret Empire. Kevin and I, we would read this stuff because someone has to do it. But at this point, it's just so joyless and dour. I don't know why people would keep reading. And especially just because of the toxic personality that Nick Spencer is on Twitter. I don't know how he's in real life, but on Twitter, he seems like a real jackass. But so do a lot of people. That's besides the point. This event has finally wound down, and it's alleviated in the most hackneyed, cowardly way I've ever seen something done. There was such a push by Marvel to get people to accept the fact that Captain America had been rewritten in reality to be this agent of Hydra, this person that could lead Hydra to great success. And they kept telling us, you have to accept this. This is Captain America. Spencer, when initially that first issue said, this is not mind wiping, this is not blah, 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 this is Captain America. And at the end, it's Kubik bringing her memories of Captain America to life, which, what the fuck are you doing? You had a Captain America in reality that you adjusted and you went to bat for. Now I'm speaking to Marvel as a whole. You were pushing this agenda on everyone. You were telling a reading public that this is what it is. Get used to it. They were telling you what you should think is cool and why you should let this story go. And now that the story's over, it's deeply disappointing. It's stupid. They took a backdoor Deus Ex Machina exit to have the real Captain America come back and take out this usurper. And it's just dumb. You had your guns, and for as stupid as they were, you should have stuck to them. Do something where you change the Cap from Hydra, and don't talk down to your audience by having the real version of Captain America pop up and save the day. That's horseshit. And I'm also especially upset because it's going into this legacy nonsense where, oh, DC, you went back to original numbering for 2 of your properties. Well, we'll do it for everything. And it doesn't work when it's a collection of miniseries. It looks really fucking stupid if it's a collection of miniseries that you're turning into an ongoing. Like Venom is at 150, Luke Cage is on like 130. That's stupid. There's been no straight series for those characters. Venom has just, from Lethal Protector on, just a series of miniseries leading into like the Rick Remender series, the Agent Venom stuff. It's all different characters, and it just makes me so mad that they think that, let's say they're a restaurant, and the restaurant across the street's doing better than they are, because they have this really cool ice cream dish. Well, this restaurant, the Marvel restaurant, sees that, and they're like, well, they like ice cream, let's give them ice cream all the time for every meal. And we're going to get sick of that real quick. You can't cater to everybody. You can't please everyone. I'm not going to attack the diversity stuff because that was a brilliant idea. That's one of the few things Marvel has done correctly, is inject more diversity into its lineup. But to try and have like 4 versions of the same hero at the same time is moronic. And trying to get everything back to the way they were in terms of numbering is moronic. And it's upsetting to see Marvel trying to get back to some of its cool ideas from the 90s, which, you know, in the 90s, Marvel was king until Image popped him off. But that's, again, besides the point. Marvel was king of the 90s, and they're trying to get back a lot of those properties and introduce a lot of those ideas. And it's just, I can't support this. It's stupid, and it makes it seem like they're backpedaling. Have the confidence and courage to stick to your guns. You've already ostracized your audience. Try and bring them back through natural, good storytelling, and they're not doing it. I guess you can say they threw people a bone by getting Donnie Cates to an exclusive, because he's got some really, with God Country and Baby Teeth and all, like the vampire futuristic book he had been doing, he's a really cool, forward-thinking guy. Putting him in Marvel's horror universe is a great idea. But geez, you've got all these mainstays just floundering, and it's all Marvel's fucking fault, and they don't seem to care, and they don't seem to do anything about it. So, screw you, Marvel. You gave us a very unsatisfactory ending to Secret Empire. It was bad. It was a bad ending. I'm glad you have some people that feel okay, but your sales show that a lot more people are a lot more dissatisfied. So, go sit in a corner and think about what you've done, and maybe get your shit together. Maybe. Who's to say? Anyway, that is the first episode. I'm sorry to kind of end on such a shitty note, but a lot of cool books going on this week. Image is always pumping out good stuff. Please continue to check out Aftershock. They have a ton of good books that come out on a pretty regular basis. They're just a small new publisher that I've been on the bandwagon for since I heard about it being developed by Mike Martz. Their books are great. Please go out and buy them. Put them on your pull list at your stores so the stores can get them in and give Aftershock some numbers. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you next time. Quick addendum to this episode. It was during the editing process that Drew let me know that Len Wein had passed away, and it was disappointing news on a myriad scale, because he was one of the guys that I most wanted to meet eventually and talk to him, because I growing up, you know, you find out that he made your favorite character, and he basically revamped the X-Men to what they are today, and all these different characters and stories he's edited, great stories as an editor, and he passed away, and it's a big blow to the creators community. He was such a universally well-liked person. It's weird. It's really sad. It's really, really sad. And you go on Twitter and you're going to see a lot of people lamenting his loss, and for good reason. He was a great guy. He was a tremendous creative force. And it's hard to articulate the loss of this guy for not just the comics community, but for people who like superheroes to begin with. Because without him, the X-Men don't reach the popularity that they attained. We don't have Wolverine. It's a really sad loss for a really good person. It seemed like no one really disliked him, and it's just a huge bummer. So, sorry to include that, but he's a guy I admired, and I'm very heartbroken that he's gone. So, grab your favorite Len Wein comics, read them, and dedicate a gratitude in your heart towards him.